Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
And airports, they seem like a distant memory. I can't remember the last time. I think it was like October 2019 was the last time I was actually physically in an airport. And these days, a lot of us aren't able to travel. And even if you could, you might avoid the airport because of the coronavirus.
It might get to the point now where we actually go to the airport in the future and we'll be like we're opening the door to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory the first time. It's like, wow, what is this wonderful place?
It's
then within
Wonderland.
10 minutes, you're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Whoops.
I hate this place. One guy, though, 36-year-old Aditya Singh, he was stuck at O'Hare Airport in Chicago. It's an international airport.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 months, Hutsy. He was there from the 19th of October last year, and he only just got discovered last weekend.
Was it free Wi-Fi or something?
No. You got Maccas for that. You don't need to go to the airport. Apparently, he was afraid to fly home because of the coronavirus. That was his reason. And I'm like, okay, so you're staying at a place that's essentially a giant petri dish with airplanes?
Mm-hmm.
That's your... You think you're not going to catch it at the airport? He reckons he found a misplaced security pass, and that's how he was able to spend such a long time at this airport undetected until, of course, this weekend.
Is he really like? Was he really that scared of catching the coronavirus, or was he just a bigger tight ass than me and was like, I could save on rent?
No, it was definitely a fear of the pandemic. And, of course, you're thinking, well, how does a man survive for 3 months at an airport? Well, when it comes to food, he managed to get people, like passengers, passing through the airport. Mm-hmm. He asked them to give him some food, and they did, because otherwise he would have starved to death. You know, $20 for a pack of Tim Tams from the gift shop, that's only going to stretch so far. Eventually, you're going to run out of money. When it comes to drinking, of course, you've got the water bubblers, so you can drink out of those to your heart's content. I don't know when it comes to your own personal hygiene, though. I don't think they have showers at the toilets at the airports.
I don't think they do, but I think people have probably been desperate at times and you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
He's just giving himself a sponge bath at the water bubbler. Like, oh, do you want to use this? No, mate, I'll get the other one. It's fine. So, yeah, the cops eventually busted him on the weekend and he is going to face court over trespassing and other sort of related charges. And, yeah, all because he was afraid to fly home from the coronavirus. I'm like, mate, you're not going to get killed by the coronavirus. You're going to die of a heart attack when you see the parking fees that you've accrued over the last 3 months at your home airport.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Well, the sky's been full with all these Qantas planes delivering all these players for the Australian Open, which is happening very soon.
And it's gone smooth as silk. Not a problem, not a wrinkle.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of these planes have been full of people with the coronavirus as well, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think New South Wales recorded 4 cases yesterday and they were directly linked to the Australian Open.
So, yeah, this is a bit of a disaster at the moment. Obviously, there was a lot of talk a few months ago about, you know, will it even be held? And they're like, yes, it will be held, but we're going to push it back to this date. They thought they'd planned it down to a T. You know, last week I was reporting on how tight these restrictions were going to be, and for obvious reasons, because obviously we've got 72 players and their entourages touching down and isolating for that 2-week period before we begin the Australian Open in early February. But it looks like some of the players we've been hearing the last few days have been complaining about some of the conditions when it comes to quarantine, because we've seen photos of some players doing a lot easier than other players, because in Melbourne, that's where basically they've got the hard quarantine, which is happening they have to do for 14 days.
Well, Victorians went through a lot last year
to try and contain
the spread of the virus, so they don't want that getting out again.
And that's exactly what people are saying. People are having no sympathy for these players going, hang on a sec, you might want to be quiet there because we've done this before. You guys have only got to do it just for this little period of time and then get paid your truckloads of money just for hitting a couple of balls around.
Yeah.
But one person though has come out to basically fight the good fight for the tennis players that are doing it tough, and that is Novak Djokovic.
Right, okay.
Because he's the best person for the job, right?
You'd think as someone who actually contracted the coronavirus, he would sort of be saying, all right, guys, let's just get through this quarantine because we don't want to spread the virus and we definitely don't want to catch it.
He gets up and addresses the room and goes, guys, I know personally what it's like to have the coronavirus. But
oh, it's terrible. The symptoms, you got the throat, it's, you struggle to breathe because it feels like someone's hit you in the throat with a ball.
Yeah, so he's the former president of the ATP Player Council, so basically like a union rep speaking on behalf of the players, and he's demanded Tennis Australia provide equal and better conditions for all players who are stuck in quarantine. So obviously players in Melbourne have got it pretty tough. Some of the players in different states, like Adelaide and that, it's actually not as harsh as what it is in Melbourne. So what he's demanding... Some of his demands he has put to everybody is, you know, fitness and training material in all rooms, decent food for the players, having coaches staying on the same floor and the physician trainers and everything until they pass their COVID tests, so allowing the staff and the trainers to be, you know, together, fewer overall days of isolation for players in hotel quarantine. What are you, haggling it down to like 10 days or something, going, oh, maybe we can meet somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, how are they going to put training equipment into these hotel rooms? What, are they going to put totem tennis in there to set a pole up with a couple of little plastic bats?
Ping pong table?
And in terms of food, I saw some of the food they got. They were getting sushi. If you're getting free sushi, shut up.
Like, exactly right.
What are you complaining
you're
about?
You're already getting better conditions than just the general public who've had to serve out those sort of things as well. But obviously, he's like, here's the letter. Tell me what you think. Straight away, Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews dismissed the demands. And so did also the COVID-19 Quarantine Victoria Commissioner, Emma Casser, who was like, not even a year at the end. Just, no, this isn't happening, buddy.
Dan Andrews is like, talk to the hand because the North Face jacket ain't listening.
Yeah, and I kind of think the one that really sealed it was one of the demands as well. So one of the other ones he had was relocation of the tennis players as possible to private homes with courts as well they can practice on. So I'm talking about lifestyles of the rich and the famous.
Yeah.
So it's probably gotten to this point. His credibility is just about shot. You know, he thinks he's delivering, you know, some things that are reasonable, but what the Federation and what the government are hearing is probably something a bit more like this.
We hold the world ransom for $100 billion.
Might as well be. You know, I don't know how he's performing on the tennis court, but it's safe to say he lost this one in straight sets.
I think so, yeah.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Online learning platform, Cluey Learning, they're trying to sort of send out a message that learning should be as individualised as a haircut for the kids.
That's so deep.
So they've launched this sort of scheme. They're giving away 1,000 free haircuts Australia-wide through the Just Cuts hairdressing chain. So you might be able to get a free haircut from the one in the bay. I think you've got to jump online to register for the free haircut.
Yeah, don't just go there and ask for Brad.
Yeah, like, just Brad, don't show up and tell the Just Cuts guys in Bateman's Bay, Brad said I could have a free haircut. It doesn't work like that. Get online and sort it out there first. But, yeah, it is one of those things, though, when you're a kid, most kids are basically dictated their haircut by their parents. That's what it was like for me and my brother, and same for you, it seems like.
Yeah, and it seems like most parents were wrong when I look back on photos. I look back on photos when I was a kid and go, wow, I was rocking a really cool haircut back then.
I think that was parents back then, though. These days, like, I've been to get a haircut and there's been, like, kids ahead of me.
Yeah.
And the mums and dads that take them in to get their haircut, I think they're very conscious about how their hair's going to look. So nowadays, kids get really... like well-styled hair. Like
they
get the fade and the fancy swoosh over and things, and they even get patterns like shaved into their hair if they want.
Yeah, kids these days have got swag.
They do. They got a lot of swag. 1-300-92-1250 though. We are talking about the haircuts that you got stuck with as a kid. Chris from Brogo, mate, what was the haircut you got stuck with?
It was the mullet. Tragically, it was the mullet.
But it's coming back now, Chris. What's old is new.
I know, but, you know, we were the innovators back then. You know, these guys are just copying what our absolute coolness used to be.
That's true, and you guys suffered. Like, it was a, you know, you were social pariahs because of the mullet haircut, but now you've got, like, footballers and all sorts of celebrities rocking a mullet.
Yeah, we stuck with it when it was never cool and you got laughed at. Now all of a sudden it's fashion trend and these guys are going, oh, look, I'm so edgy. No, you're not. You didn't have to put up with it in the 80s.
Did you take it willingly as a kid, the mullet, or did you put up a bit of a struggle when you that was the suggested haircut? Or
the worst thing in the world was it was my choice.
No sympathy. It's gone out the window.
All through high school, I look back at my high school photos and it's mullet, 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 big mullet, small mullet, mullet.
There's variations of the mullet. Well, there's a lesson to any kids listening. If you go to the hairdressers, don't ask for a haircut that's named after an ugly fish because its chances are it's not going to look great.
No, I learned that lesson after I left high school. I changed it up and I said, can I have a toadfish? And that was a bad idea.
They gave you the neighbour's haircut. Awesome, mate. Well, thanks for chatting with us this morning, bud.
All right, thanks, fellas.
That could be something you use as a sort of threat to the kids. Mums and dads, pull out those old photos of you with a bad childhood haircut, and then that could be sort of, you know, your way of getting the kids to do what you want. Like, do what I ask. Or next time we go to the hairdressers, this is the haircut you're getting, the one I had when I was 8.
Like on The Simpsons, the big British book of smiles.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
One TikTok user by the name of @ZippySquid.
Of course.
Did I say reputable TikTok user?
Yeah, you didn't say that, no.
He's revealed something that's been introduced to a Woolies store that I think will change the way, at least I know it will change the way I shop when it finally gets rolled out. Here's a little bit from the video.
You've seen this. But have you seen this? It's a phone holder. Ooh.
Now, you probably couldn't hear any of that because Men at Work was just blaring.
Yeah.
So you need to turn that down at that Woolies he was at. But @ZippySquid was revealing that the trolleys at his local Woolies in Melbourne have now been fitted out with mobile phone holders.
They've gone hands-free.
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing that you have in your car, like you can get those suction cup mobile phone holders or the one you stick on the vent.
Yep.
Now they're on your trolley. This is a very advanced store, though. In this store, they're using the new scan and go technology. So instead of wheeling all your stuff to the checkout or the self-serve and doing it yourself, you take the product off the shelf and scan it on your mobile app.
That's crazy.
And so they're saying if it's attached to the trolley, this makes things easier. A lot of people went, wow, this is great. Because, you know, a lot of the times now, when you get your shopping list, you might put it on your phone. I get my wife to text me what we need at the shops. And so I find it hard to hold, like, the phone in one hand, the basket in the other, and get stuff down. It's like I need to be, like, some sort of multi-armed Hindu god just to do the grocery shopping because your hands are full. And I don't even have kids with me. God help any mum or dad that has to do the shopping with kids as well.
Yeah, I'm old school. I've always got the written bit of paper. I've got the list.
The list is all right because you can kind of carry the basket and the paper list in one hand. But when you've got these gigantic bloody phones they make these days, you need one hand to hold it. So I'm constantly having to shove the phone back in the pocket. So I think it's a great idea having a phone holder on the actual trolley.
It's brilliant because you drop the list, you just pick it back up, you drop the phone, you spend another half an hour in the shops just crying in the aisle.
Sobbing quietly to yourself in aisle 4. Some people think it's great. Others disagree. One person said, considering people use their phones while they're on the toilet, I'll take a hard pass on using this. Yeah, you know something else people use on their toilet? Their hands. Like, and they'll use those same grubby hands to handle the trolley. It doesn't matter. There's no avoiding other people's toilet germs because we're all, like, just spreading it everywhere. So don't worry too much about
that. We're all human, ?
This person has a much greater concern, though, Hutsy. This person wrote, someone else could steal my phone whilst I'm grabbing bananas.
What a sting operation that would be.
How long is it taking you to pick a bunch of bananas? You're like, I turn my back for a second while I carefully chose a nice ripe yellow banana. Next thing I know, my phone's gone.
I can understand if they were testing the peaches where sometimes you can stand there for like 10 minutes grabbing all the peaches
trying to work out. Or an avocado, I've spent hours just trying to get a good avocado. I don't know when this is going to get rolled out at like the Big and Aruma or, you know, Bateman's Bay, Woolies, wherever, but hopefully we'll see it soon. It would definitely help. The only downside I can see personally is the amount of lost phones. Like people that will stick the phone in the holder, take their groceries, leave the store and go, oh, I left my phone at the supermarket. You know, it happens.
They'll do that, but they won't forget the $2 that goes in the trolley.
Yeah, well, yeah, you'd hope they wouldn't. I mean, but I can see people forgetting their phones because the same thing happened to me. My mum put me in the little front tray of a Woolies trolley. And from the ages of 2 to 4, I was raised by trolley boys. She left me behind at the supermarket. You knew I was there, Mum. What happened?
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.